Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Once again, Mid-Flight Brawl is brought to you by our good mates at Heaps Normal, award-winning, delicious, independent, non-alcoholic beer. If you're looking for a bit of a break off the booze, get to heapsnormal.com, chuck in duty-free at checkout, grab yourself a slab and get free shipping anywhere around Australia. But, mate, as you know, Heggy, they're fucking everywhere now. We're at 7-Elevens in some joints.
Damn straight. I drank one in the sauna the other day for something to do.
Beautiful.
Beer in the sauna, big mistake. Heaps Normal, fine. Better, if anything.
Health, little health retreat, mate.
Yeah.
You know what to do. My son just started four-year-old kinder, so he's got to pack his own lunch now. They don't get it supplied like they do at daycare, so the kids are learning the sound of as he opens a Heaps Normal to cheers his mates.
The only thing missing now, I reckon, is the ring pull that comes off on your finger. Remember?
And you used to put it back in.
Yeah, and you put it back in the drink so you wouldn't litter. You just got this vicious bit of sharp metal floating around in your beer.
I like that Heaps Normal haven't fucked around and they've just got a stock standard ring put, like the normal opening can. Because there's a beer company we know in Canberra that you open it and the whole fucking lid comes off and you've got an aluminium cup of beer. Yuck.
Yeah. You've also got it's like walking around with a tuna lid hanging off your finger afterwards as well. That's worse than a smashed glass across someone's face.
They trust the people in Canberra. Newcastle wouldn't, but Canberra they do. But if you want to break off the booze or just break up a night out a little bit, Heaps Normal. Get them in ya.
Hey, I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. Throughout human history, there have been countless scuffles, melees and fracases. When planes were invented, we didn't magically just stop belting the shit out of each other.
So ladies and gentlemen, strap in, kick your shoes off, recline your seat without checking, drink your duty-free and start staring aggressively at strangers. This is Mid-Flight Brawl.
Mid-air madness, passengers trading blows.
Mid-air brawl on board a scoot flight from the Gold Coast.
At LAX. Thrown off a flight from Bali.
A disruptive passenger on board.
Cussing, screaming, spitting, even urinating.
Many of them have been captured on cell phones.
Where's the lady that started
the
I hope this crashes.
Out the fucking door!
Welcome to Mid-Flight Brawl. Any tip rat can fly now, and here's what happens when they do. I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. How you going, mate?
Mate, great. Sun-kissed from a day at the GC, the Golden Coast.
Yeah.
What a time.
Did you go down Cavill?
No, I never, mate, never got to Cavill. The Gold Coast Comedy Festival Gala was on last Friday night. I was hosting that bad boy. And at HOTA, the home of the arts, which...
otherwise known as the Gold Coast.
Yeah, the Gold Coast. 2018 Business of the Year, Time Zone, Surfers Paradise. That's the Gold Coast. Man, I said on the home of the... If you're in an arts venue in the Gold Coast, it feels like a zombie movie. I fucking lock the doors, guys. You don't want to know what's outside.
Yeah.
It's come with white sunnies on.
Dracula's restaurant.
Dracula's. Still never been to Dracula's. But, mate, the Goldie was a bloody good time. Sent you a photo, as you've got to send me a lot more recently. Yeah, of NRG juice there at Coolangatta Airport.
Yeah. It's always nice to know when you're arriving and when you're leaving the Gold Coast. Always know.
My mum wants to know flight times. All you want to know is if I've touched down or I'm about to take off from the Gold Coast.
Yeah, very close together. Like NRG shots, never more than a day apart, really, for you.
No. Get in, get out. I'll tell you what, though, the Gold Coast did help me out because at that hotel there's a bar and it was Friday night. Place was absolutely rammed. Until 5 minutes to midnight when they told us all to fuck off.
Yep.
Apparently the whole joint turns into Cinderella at midnight, so get out of there.
Oh, okay. Good-o. Wow.
It actually saved me from another 9 unnecessary drinks though. So
yeah. We've always scoffed at that in our youth, but I think it's fine now. Like it saves you. The sun gets up even earlier there somehow.
Yeah.
And it's brutal through the curtains. You don't want to be out after midnight.
No, that's all. I kept the. I didn't even set an alarm. I just trusted nature's alarm to wake me up. Yep. Left those curtains open. About 4:45, boss, that sun's coming through. Woken up, down into the water, down into the beach.
Oh, you got to swim in?
Mate, two swims. Friday, nice. Arvo swim, pre-gig, Saturday morning swim. And then to buddy, cap the trip off beautifully, hopped on the plane at Coolangatta, flying back to Melbourne, a Virgin flight, and hand the flight attendant, this bloke, I handed my phone with my boarding pass on there, and he has a look and said, "Yep, all good, Jaden. Have a good flight." And then started laughing.
Very fucking nice.
Hot diggity. A listener is a fucking legend. Oh. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, got to the bottom of the Cambodia thing as well. Heard back from a listener who had a funny Instagram name, so I don't know the actual name, but someone who's living there who listens to the pod. So spread it around, buddy. We need to go back up the charts, get a few Cambodians onto it. Love to be number one comedy podcast in Cambodia one day.
Well, we got a message about it on our Patreon, patreon.com/midflightbrawl if you want extra episodes, bonus episodes of Land Larrikins, the spin-off pod, early access to ticket sales and whatnot. Get on there on our Patreon. But Kelly sent us a message. It made me think about this. She said, "Hey, thinking about Cambodia and who might be listening, why do we call white immigrants expats and everyone else migrants?" Now, my theory, again, I think I covered it on a much earlier episode of this. Yeah. I think it's based on the it should be based on the United Nations Most Livable Countries Index.
Oh, okay. And then you become an expat if you're from one of them.
No. It's the Human Development Index, right? So Australia is number 8.
Yeah.
If you leave Australia and you go up the rankings, you're a migrant.
Right.
If you go down, you're an expat. So Norway's number 1. You can't be a Norwegian migrant because you're at the top.
Well, you migrate to heaven one day.
But it is in front of us, Norway, Switzerland, Ireland somehow. You live there. Yep. What do you reckon?
I don't reckon. I think they've fudged the stats.
Germany, Hong Kong and Iceland. They're all above us. And then below us, the top 10, Sweden, Singapore and Netherlands. So if I move to Sweden, Singapore or Netherlands, I'm an expat. But if I go to any of the others, I'm a migrant.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, I think that's a good way. That way it's got nothing to do with skin colour. It's more to do with, where are you from?
Yeah. Yeah. Funnily enough, the most quantifiable methods of anything don't really stick because they're too easy to judge and people want to have extra little say in things for them. So not going to work, mate. On feedback, got some classic feedback via my website. Not even on the complaints form because I can't even read them anymore.
And I know you, this will be stuck in your craw for some time.
Oh, no. It's just good. It's an email.
Don't listen to losers on the internet. One comment will send you off. And it does to me. It does to me too. I'm not above that. I'll stare at a YouTube comment while sharpening knives for hours. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to bore you. It's not long. It's just the one sentence email.
Oh, great.
So
good job, Heggy. Keep it up.
That's two sentences.
Sorry, mate. Just one second. You said my email idea was two sentences, but obviously you don't get the sort of feedback I do where people don't use grammar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. Sometimes I'll get 8 paragraphs, but there's only one full stop, so I have to read that as one sentence.
Well, look forward to this then because I think you're going to enjoy it. Subject, poor stand-up humor. Mate, I just called you before or whatever numbers on Luke Heggie's page between the two of yaz can't use actually fucking suck bad dick at stand-up comedy on stage. It's actually not even comedy. It's just a load of corny fucking not even funny jokes about staffies in Afghanistan when I actually seen who's yous are and listened to yaz say jokes. I was fucking disgusted. You cunts should 100% not do stand-up. You should fucking sit wherever the fuck it is. You have conversations about funny shit on a microphone so no one can bear witness to two fucking lame spastics say pathetic jokes on stage and just have a standard convo about funny shit. Otherwise, you may as well just go fuck each other instead of fucking wasting my fucking time and have me listen to you fucking scum fuckhead undercover cop maggots go off your rat.
Now, what I've gathered from some of the subjects that he's brought up in there, I think he's seen mine.
It's not even me.
But then he somehow brought you into it. Staffy's in Afghanistan. I'll put my hand up there. Those are out of some old set lists of mine.
Yeah.
But then he somehow brought you in there as well, talking about undercover cop. What's he heard?
I don't know.
Has he watched us? Maybe the algorithm's shown you, then me, and then you again. He's like, fuck, this guy blows out, chucks on a bit of weight.
Yeah, there's a deep fake mashup or something. Yeah. I don't know what he's thinking. It's pretty good. Yeah. I sent him a message back, say, hey, mate, you know, I don't really know what this is, nor do I think it's about me necessarily, but go to the fucking complaints form, please. This is not the place. I think he's rung up our management too, because that's the phone number at the bottom of my website. Like, he's trying to call me to tell me. I have a fucking phone number on my website. Yeah, call me up if you want to have a whinge. Unbelievable.
Do you think what's happened there, is that one of the, really the fallout from one of our stable mates making a joke on the project the other week?
Oh, could have been. I don't know.
They're scouring the internet.
No, I don't know that anyone with a bent towards extreme Christianity may talk like that. I'm not sure.
Mate, that's incredible. I told you though, that I'm not wrong, am I? That is the exact feedback I get.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, and I love that. The more poorly written and weird it is, I'm like, good, that's all right, mate. Go watch something else.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I wish idiots like me. What a fucking market. But they don't. Leave them to it. Go see something else. Hey, I have noticed your new hobby too, and I'm enjoying it because I get them sent to me from you. It's just looking at Star Now and the age range of potential actors and what they can play. It is pretty good. I got a 10 Star, to 38 yesterday from you.
Yeah, Star Now is a website where, I don't know, hopeful, you know, aspiring actors put up all their profiles and stuff. And you found one where a girl said she could play 0 to 20?
Yeah, 0 to 20. It might be in an episode coming up. I'm not sure. I can't remember when we recorded that, or it could be in a Larrikins one.
Yeah, but I found one the other day, a woman who says the age range she can play is 10 to 38.
Yeah.
Which is, it's fantastic. Wow. Yeah. She is good.
Madonna.
before we get stuck into the ep, Heggy, I think you'll appreciate this. About a week or so ago, in my kitchen, the bin is it's a part of the drawers. It's sort of built into the cabinet. So you pull a drawer out, have a look at the back and go, hold on, there's some black hundreds and thousands at the bottom of the bins there. Nah, ooh, that's mouse shit. That is a fucking mouse shit.
Yeah.
And I could hear at night, if I stay up late enough, I'll just hear. They don't get out into the kitchen because that's sealed, but I'll hear them in the roof or in the behind the walls near that part of the kitchen. Went online. I thought, I've never had mice. I don't know what to do. I'll look up best mouse traps.
Yeah,
and found this one. It was looked like an old pencil case that you'd make in woodwork. You know the stock standard pencil case. But it was about that size. One?
Yeah.
No, it had two. It had two lasers. It was about $50.
Yeah.
Put the bait at the back, the mice come in, double laser. Good night, Irene.
Oh, okay.
A mate of mine though, his brother is a pest control expert. And so I sent the photo to my mate and said, can you check with your brother if this one's all right? And he sent that off. And a few minutes later I got a text from him saying, this is what my brother reckons. And he screenshotted his brother's message and it said, it would be better if Cody just put his Mrs. Vibrator in there. Just get a fucking snap trap with some peanut butter.
Yeah. So, there's a reason the original's been around as long as it is, as it has.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
Totally. People just feel icky about it.
Yesterday, was out all day, got home last night, went to chuck something in the bin, have a squiz at the back. Booyah. One down.
Yep. Tell that to
good
your mates.
Good time. Yeah. Hung it up on the clothesline like a Mexican cartel murder just to let the others know. They are not welcome in my fucking house.
Yeah. We better boot on, mate. We've been mucking
around
for
a
bit.
All right, before we get in, each week if we're down the line, Heggy, you've got a Zoom background with a grim history. This one, though, it looks like a beautiful prop. It's
beautiful.
Quite a sprawling property in the sort of built into the forest somewhere.
It's on the wonderful Hawkesbury River.
Hawkesbury mansion. River.
Huge.
Huge
very
mansion.
Prominent Sydney businessman. Much loved.
Oh.
Dead now. But, I mean, I don't want to make a long one. Better get in. But this is Renee Rivkin's house.
Ah, what did Renee get up to again?
I'll tell you what, this will give you a hint. You put in Google Images, you put in Google Renee Rivkin house, it writes boy after that.
Oh, no. So,
yeah.
You know what?
House boys looking after this.
You know what, though? This is where your algorithms are different from mine. I've gone into Google and typed Renee Rivkin house and afterwards it said Hawkesbury.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not looking up as many grim crimes on my computer. Oh, I reckon most people you type into your thing and it would just have some sort of crime afterwards.
Yeah, just you put in MO and it just fills out Leicester on the end. All right. Let's go, mate.
All right, let's get stuck in.
All right, mate. This week we're looking at Hawaiian Airlines, November 29, 2016.
Have we had a Hawaiian Airlines yet?
I don't believe so. I don't think so, no.
And I'm sure you'll be able to correct me straight away, but I still find it weird when there's an before an H word. An Hawaiian Airlines.
Oh, you don't like an H, should be RH.
No, I still think it's H, but I hate when I see an HBO special.
Yeah. You don't like that?
I thought it was just vowels that you did that for.
Well.
An H is getting fucking little asterisks next to it.
When it's said, it's called, it's like the spelling of it is A-I-T-C-H. We've had this conversation, I'm sure.
No. I'm saying, you're saying the word an before a word that starts with H.
Yes.
Yeah. An Hawaii. But I thought an was only before words that started with vowels.
Ah,
I don't know why H gets in there.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's two schools of thought that, like an historical debut, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Does sound better.
You could say an hallucination. Well, he had a hallucination.
You'd have to say Anyway.
Catholics did that.
Didn't
among other
didn't
things.
Didn't mean to bring the vibe of our plane flight podcast down with a bit of nitty gritty with the English language, but.
We're starting on semantics, not even into where it's Honolulu. It's gone from Honolulu to New York.
Wow.
Hawaiian Airlines. The oldest American airline to have never had a fatal accident or hull loss. And frequently tops the charts for reliability, punctuality, and bags turning up.
I was just about to say, I reckon I've seen Hawaiian Airlines air crash investigations. Aloha.
Yes.
Aloha Airlines. Sorry, different thing. The fucking roof came off.
Oh, right. Aloha.
Someone got sucked out.
What they say
out.
After that? Yeah, aloha.
I remember
to God
someone getting sucked out. Someone being held onto. They were holding onto a flight attendant.
Really?
So they didn't go. See you later.
One person got sucked out.
Fuck, Hawaiian Airlines. Yeah.
Four. What did the pilots go straight into a dive straight after that to get down to a low level? So there's.
Yeah, I think they try and just bring it. The thing is though, you're still going fucking fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, one fatality. 58-year-old flight attendant Clara Bell Lansing swept out of the airplane while standing near the fifth row seats. Body was never found.
Wow.
Veteran flight attendant of 37 years at the time of the accident. And this is in 1988. So she'd been on planes since 52.
Mm.
I mean, that is, that's playing with fire.
Yes.
we hate to victim blame here on this show.
Yeah. You started when they had rectangular windows. You've done well to get out of that era. What, a hole just appeared in the roof?
Yeah. The fuselage, a bit ripped off.
Oof.
Bit of the roof just ripped off.
I mean, just to pad it out, there were no airline incidents. So I found an interesting character from Honolulu.
Oh, yeah?
Korean War veteran Eugene Barrett. And you'll like this. Dishonorably discharged for excessive drinking.
Some effort.
You'd have to give it a proper nudge back then, I reckon, to get discharged.
That's like my radio co-host, Brendan Favola, kicked out of Ireland and Queensland for drinking too much, which he says must be a first.
I think there must be something else involved.
Mm.
Like, I just, you know, you can't just for drinking. It must be, you know, it's drinking and behaving while you're drinking in a certain way. He moved to Honolulu, Eugene, and his girlfriend, who had 5 kids, broke up with him because of his unemployment and drinking. So he shot her multiple times, killing her.
Oh, jeez. I don't know why I started laughing after that sentence, thinking something great was going to come from this tale.
It's not funny, mate.
And good news, Cody, he turned it all around. Then he realised that was his rock bottom, and he's been sober ever since, got the girlfriend and the kids back, flying.
No. Well, in the trial, this is what piqued my interest, and this is where he's somewhat of a pioneer. He didn't remember doing it because he was drunk. So the judge said, hogwash, dickhead. It's 1959, not 2023. Makes you think, doesn't it?
That was what were the terms for, you know, mentally insane back in that era?
Oh, nuts. Or like,
yeah, they'd probably use all of those. He was nuts. He was nuts on the drink. Yeah.
He was a Fruit Loop. the judge said, nah, not buying that. Life without parole. Later on, though, just kidding, 15 to 50 years. And then in 1967, the governor commuted him and said, 8 years will do. You seem nice. No explanation.
What?
He returned to Honolulu and got married again.
Oh, don't tell me. Not again.
This woman divorced him a year later because of his drinking. So he killed her. makes you think, doesn't it?
Woo!
This time, though, he pleaded guilty. Immediately.
Imagine that, going to court. And they're like, have you ever been in court before? Yeah, once for murdering my missus. I was guilty. 8 years. Yeah. Here we go again.
Well, they've upped it this time. Guilty. 10 years in the clink.
Oh.
Out in 5. Good behaviour. Back to Honolulu.
He's not going for third time lucky, is he?
No, he's all right. For the rest of the 80s, he just sat there drinking, checked himself into a psych ward for the 90s, got out of that in 1995, and promptly killed a woman across the road because she didn't like him. But then he did go to jail properly. Sorry. 3 times a charm.
Just so everyone knows, the laughing is at the
you don't see
the
me
ludicrous
laughing.
Nature.
It's
that
not
this,
funny, Nick.
Well, no, because you read it already. You've had time to laugh before this. You probably have. There you go. Now you're in trouble. That is incredible. So what happened after the third one, sorry?
Oh, he went to jail properly that time. Like, mate, come on. Died in the slammer, early 2000s.
That's
unbelievable.
That's fucking crazy. So it's not all lays and aloha, is it?
No, it ain't. Anyway, our hero today.
That's what always gets me too, by the way, is that there's a UFC fighter, Max Holloway, one of the best of all time, is Hawaiian. Another guy, BJ Penn, Hawaiian. Unbelievable fighters from beautiful parts of the world, to me, the scariest, because they should be relaxed. You go, what happened?
Yeah.
What happened there?
It's not dissimilar to comedy audiences, to be honest. Like, comedy does not work east of Surry Hills in Sydney. And imagine other cities have the same sort of problem. People living by a beach, or too relaxed, or too rich. So it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You had a few down and outers there.
Well, I always find that, you know, there's some Gold Coast club gigs that can be a little bit rough.
Mm.
But I've never been annoyed at them because I'm like, well, we're at the fucking beach. I could see the water.
And you're dumb.
Who, me or the crowds? Who are you talking to?
No, the crowd. I mean, you obviously go better than me, but, you know, it's because they're a bit dumb.
Absolutely not. Nightmares there.
Yeah, some fucking terrible gigs. I was at one once and the MC it was so bad. And the MC was doing everything he could. And he eventually started talking to the crowd. And I apologise in advance for the language, but this is not my language. This is what got yelled. So fucking reporting the news.
And also, I love that this is what you apologise for so far in this episode. Hey, there were some naughty words. Get ready.
Yeah, there's a triple murderer.
trigger warning.
You'd be surprised what people get upset by. He said to the crowd, "So I went to university. What do you think I studied?" And this guy at the back just goes, "Being a faggot." Just straight out.
Gold Coast.
Yelling it. It's going, "Oh, my God, these gigs are so bad." It's unbelievable. Anyway, our hero today, a man called James August. Couldn't find his age or where he worked. Surprisingly common name, actually. Did see a picture of him. Looks about mid-50s at the time. He's from New Jersey, just like your favourite band.
Who's
Bon
that?
Jovi.
Are they? I thought they're Philly, aren't they?
Nah, Jersey. They had an album called New Jersey.
Oh, that's right. And Springsteen's Jersey as well. And
yeah, New Jersey, most densely populated US state. Yeah, home to a young Bruce Springsteen, the boss. Mm-hmm. Symbol of working class America. Always loved the boss. Not quite enough to pay $500 for a stadium seat to watch the king of the everyman. But still, very good.
I remember once a radio show, Opie and Anthony, I used to listen to. They spoke about Springsteen shows going till 1 in the morning and just the poor fucking Jersey tradies. And hey, man, we like your songs, but for fuck's sake.
Yeah, wind it up.
Got to go to work in 3 hours.
Yeah, the actual working classes. They've got to do some stuff. Build your stadiums.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Your favorite actor, podcaster, and superhero are all from New Jersey too. Your favorite actor, Kevin Spacey. Is he back yet? Has he done his time?
I think I saw him pop up in the news the other day.
Yeah. I think he's back. Is he? Is he back getting roles or something? I don't know.
Nah.
Definitely sus. I heard some stories secondhand. He was in Australia doing some sus stuff, I think, at one stage. Superman or something. Joe Rogan, he's from New Jersey. What will he say next? And also Christopher Reeve, Super Quentin. He's from New Jersey. Reeve learned during the filming of Anna Karenina, he learned how to ride a horse.
Did he though?
Well, yeah, he's allergic to horses, but pushed through that.
Oh.
Learned to ride and do dressage and shit. You know, the one where they get awarded points for plaiting the horse's mane. They must fucking love that.
Yeah, the horse river dance. They just do a little foot up top still and the feet are busy.
Christopher's horse was named Buck. There's an early hint.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Chris.
Buck pulled up at a routine jump during an equestrian event, flicked off Superman, and then the rest of it happened. I tell you what, too, people of your ilk who like to draw a long bow when there's a statistical phenomenon at play that's just mathematics have coined the Superman curse. You must have heard of this in your forums.
Anyone who plays Superman goes on to have trouble after that.
Yeah, misfortune of a number of people associated with the Superman franchise, not just Superman. Casters, casting agents and that, say the curse makes it hard to cast actors for the role. George Reeves, no relation, what different surname, close. He played Superman in the 1951 film. He got shot by a gun and died.
That could be just someone going to school there, though. I don't know if that's got to do with Superman.
Well, he did it, so, you know.
Oh, he did it himself?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Lee Quigley, who played Super Baby in the 1978 film starring Christopher Reeve, he died of
impalement. By the way, that's the ultimate victim blaming. He murdered himself.
Yeah. Victim of murder. Yeah, the one who played the baby, he died of inhalant abuse when he was a teenager. Don't sniff spray paint, kids. Knees are a slippery slope, I know. And this is where it takes a bit of a hairpin for me. Theorists have said Richard Pryor, only a paltry 3 years after appearing in Superman, he got MS.
Sure. Yeah, that's a stretch.
Even bigger stretch. Dana Reeve.
He also set himself on fire, cooking crack, I believe.
Richard Pryor.
Interesting but life.
That was probably before Superman. So the curse got him before he was even in Superman 3. Dana Reeve, Christopher's wife, died of lung cancer 2 years after her husband died. Never even smoked. Yeah.
That to me is the roughest of all. I knew
that's
that.
Bad.
That is, and she took care of him the whole time.
Yeah. No good.
One of my father-in-law's mates, same thing. Early 50s, died, lung cancer, never had a dart.
How did he get it? Don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, and he's not one of those guys cutting, you know, dry tiles or anything.
Yeah.
It's not that one.
No good. There's a long list of them, getting more and more on the nose as you go down it. Ending at the best one for me, Kirk Allen, low-budget 1940s Superman. he got typecast in the role, couldn't get any other work. He's relegated to voiceovers. I'd consider that a promotion. That is...
Yeah.
Voiceovers got to be the best job in showbiz.
Oh, good fun. Well, you would have done them for when you do an ad.
I've done a couple,
Yeah, you've got to get into a booth and hang out all day, drink coffee.
And you don't have to show your stupid face, and you get paid probably as well as you would if your stupid face was advertising something. Very good.
It's the Michael Jordan Gatorade. Is it in you? Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, it's the best. It's them asking Michael Jordan for different options of one line, and he's like, okay then, Gatorade, is it in you? They're like, all right, MJ, that's great. Can you do it like this? Not a problem. Gatorade, is it in you? He just does it the same way every time.
Yeah. What, deliberately as a joke or it's just?
No, I think he's trying. It's just they have realized pretty quickly that dunking and talking are two different skills.
Yeah. Athletes are not always the best orators. It's amazing how that works out. Kirk, though, so he's doing voiceovers, I assume, living large, but they consider that bad.
By the way, I think our two lines there really sum up our styles of comedy.
What?
Yours was beautiful. Athletes are not always the best orators. And I'm like, dunking and talking, two different skills. Oh, fucking sledgehammer Cody, here he comes.
One's for the everyman. Later on, Kirk contracted Alzheimer's and died when he was 88 years old. So I guess we're all cursed. What the fuck is that? It's like 40-odd years after he's in Superman, he died, did he? Oh.
And this isn't – there's the Madden curse, the NFL game.
What's that?
Madden NFL football. The history of the Madden curse, players that have been on the front have then gone on to, you know, have shit seasons, get injured.
On the front of what? Oh, video game?
On the front of the video game. So each year there's generally one player on the front of the video game.
I can self-fulfill. People get this in their heads. Yeah, well, I don't want to be on the front of that because of this. Yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
Very silly.
Crazy talk. Anyway, James, traveling home from Honolulu with his girlfriend and her three kids. See, girlfriend, not partner, like people younger and younger seem to be adopting as their normal MO. Partner, it's got fucking business transaction written all over it. his girlfriend, who was sitting one row behind him. What's that?
Miso.
Miso. Yeah, his miso.
The old miso soup.
His bowl of soup right behind him with her children, refused to move herself. What?
Oh, so what, they were seated together and she went, we're sitting behind him.
Sitting behind him. Refused to move herself and her family to their assigned seats next to him. Bit of a tiff on the Hawaiian getaway, we can assume. There's allusions to James having had a few sherbets, but details are fairly scant here. I reckon you've got to stay sober around stepchildren, even more so than your own.
Oh, definitely.
Best foot forward.
Yeah.
They don't want to see their mum's
boyfriends. We're talking about Madden and Superman, the biggest curse of all time, de facto.
Yeah.
The de facto curse.
Oh. You see the word de facto on the news?
Let me be Superman. I'll be Superman on the front of Madden. before I'm a fucking de facto.
For sure. Yeah. Before we got married, I used to introduce my wife as my de facto. Didn't go great, but like it's a bad, that's a bad stat. You see de facto in the news, I know it's coming up.
Is it even in France, is it frowned upon, de facto?
I don't think they'd say de facto. I don't know. I can't remember what they would call that. Yeah. I doubt it. It's a gross term.
And I still think you could go through the record books and there's never been a de facto father of the year. There's never been an Australian father of the year who's a de facto.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Australian fathers of the year. You'll get one soon, I would think.
Man, I should. I just looked after my kids last week for four days by myself.
Yeah. Babysat them by yourself. But what kids don't want to, like, you don't want to give kids ammo anyway. You're not my dad style stuff would be bad news to have to live with. But especially if you're slugging back pina coladas all the live long day on their holiday, that's no good.
Still, though, you should be wise enough to go, yeah, I'm drunk, but you know what I also am, kids? Here. So better than your actual one.
Yeah. The kids don't see reason, right? You know that. As the plane was taxiing for takeoff, her 11-year-old son allegedly begged flight attendants, can you keep him away from us? I mean, allegedly. Sounds believable, but also sometimes people lie and make it sound like vulnerable children were terrified and that's the reason for this whole hullabaloo. You've got to believe and protect the children. It's not unlike those people online when you see them talking about their three-year-olds being wise. Mm. Did they say that?
my son the other day, I'm talking to my mum on the phone and he said, Bomber, calls her Bomber, Dad broke my unicorn. And I said, did I, mate? What happened? He said, you snatched it and it snapped the tail off. And I said, snatched it, did I? What really happened? He said, you broke it. How did it break, mate? Yeah, Bomber, I was hitting Dad with it and he caught it.
Yeah, brilliant.
Bit of a different tale from the one you were telling, mate.
Yeah. They back down quickly if you interrogate them. And if you don't quick enough, they can get that idea in their head, repeat it to themselves three times, and then that's history. They remember that forever as you breaking the unicorn, bad dad. And then you've got to get fucking therapists later on. A fellow passenger informed the flight crew that James had been drinking before and during the flight, like a dobber.
It's called flying.
Yeah. And he made multiple life-threatening remarks, including allegedly threatening to slice his girlfriend's throat.
Jeez, all right.
What with 2016? He was also swearing at her and her children, language in front of the children. After flight attendants asked him to move, he refused. And then what did he do?
Also, by the way, I love that it's not their children anymore. Like if he was the boyfriend but was great on the flight, it'd be referred to this bloke was looking after their children. But he drank so much that responsibility has disappeared.
Yeah.
Now he's a stranger.
Oh, it's all, there's a it's woman all manipulation. Her children. It's like when your kids have a fight. Yeah. Did you see what your daughter did to my son? That sort of thing is those sort of arguments around the house. He refused to move and then he slapped one of them. But
the kids or the flight attendant?
Flight attendant.
Oh, yeah.
On the shoulder, though. That's a soft move. Might have pulled out of the face slap at the last second or just missed or something. I don't know.
Or they've moved back. Floyd Mayweather style. They know the distance well.
Nowhere to go, though, is there? I don't know. Don't know what's happened. Then he yelled and he swore again, cussing. Geez. It's America. And threatened to punch his girlfriend in the face. This gets serious. He's already assaulted his shoulder.
I want to say the threats have downgraded.
Oh, slice the throat, punch the face. Yeah, we're down to something else. So
yeah. Let's hear him
give
out.
A stern talking to. Point.
We're going to get nipple cripple in a minute.
He's already assaulted a shoulder. He could be moving on up. One of the reports I read said he used the back of his hand to slap an FA then.
Oh.
My back of the hand. That's
truly New Jersey. Forget about it.
Yeah. Hopefully he kissed his ring finger before doing it. If The Sopranos to be believed, straight out of Trenton, that move. I love it. Back of the hand, it's a real insult. You ever been slapped?
No.
I don't know.
I reckon maybe in a fight. Like that things happen where a guy's gone to hit and then gone, no, I've just slapped.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think I've copped a...
Most blokes are so angry.
That's a lie. My high school girlfriend, I was out of high school at this point, got a job as a nanny with the Australian Shakespeare Company, travel around Australia, and I'd never been anywhere or done anything. Yeah. And I said to her I didn't want to do it because it was halfway through the footy season. I didn't want to let the boys down. And she was from the UK, lived around the world because her dad was in the military. Uh-huh. And she slapped me. She slapped me and said, don't be a fucking loser. Take the job.
Yeah, right.
You get to travel.
Oh, that's a positive slap.
A positive slap.
Violence isn't always about violence.
Yeah.
Good. And you took it, sometimes, changed your life, went on to separate course.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes she go with you? Fresh air. No.
Oh. I smell a rat. I reckon maybe she wanted out.
Yeah.
You know, you want out of something, you don't want it to be your fault. It's like inviting someone to a party knowing they can't come, but you don't really want them to come anyway.
Oh, mate. I got told recently about a friend of Luch and I, her friend had a kid's fifth birthday party at 7 p.m. on a Sunday.
Ooh.
At a fucking bounce trampoline place or something. I don't even think you've booked that. I reckon you are hedging your bets that nobody's bringing kids anywhere at 7 p.m. on a Sunday. You fucking liar.
Yeah. Well, it'd be like you're taking a risk though, but it's like when you say, my wedding is in Sweden. And you're all invited when you don't want anyone to come. You just want to be a big man invite. And then the biggest psychopath will turn up, like someone who's not a close friend, just an acquaintance. Yeah. They'll roll up.
Yeah.
It's a risk.
I'm getting married at the top of Mount Everest this afternoon.
Yeah. James had to be restrained by two male flight attendants. Hopefully Hawaiians. They can be very big.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to the advent of Western food, Pacific Islands. They've seen their populations getting much bigger. The captain diverted the plane back to Honolulu, fearing James was a danger to the rest of the passengers and crew. And when they landed, James found himself.
Status arrested.
Pretty good. James said he does not remember the incident. At all.
Do you ever believe this, Eggy?
No. It's not a fuck. You're not an Etch-a-Sketch. Like, you're not actually in a psychotic episode or something. You're just a bit pissed. Of course you remember.
No, but
classic.
Once in my life, I was drinking at that beer fest in WA. Spoke about it on the fifth or sixth episode of this, Virgin Australia one. And I was with one of the SAS blokes, nicknamed Fridge. It's 6'5", 130 kilo, big unit. And I was trying to go drink for drink with him. And then I'm at Beer Fest in Frio. Then I'm in Fridge's car. Then I'm at a pub somewhere with the boys and I've got my suitcase, which was at his place. I don't remember getting it. And then, snap, I'm in the Virgin Lounge making a toasty and the entire St. Kilda Football Club is staring at me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what have I done? Is my dick in here? Do I have pants on? Did I punch someone?
But you'd remember a punch, I reckon. That's
punctuation
mark.
That's the
not plus. You don't get pissed and punching. Like it's not.
Yeah, no, it's not my.
It's got to be in you a little bit first.
Yeah,
it's not those people who go into some sort of stupor and just do some weird stuff. You go, well, it's not a first time, is it?
Yeah,
like you've at least thought of doing that before.
Yeah, but I hate when people say that when you're drunk, whatever you say, that's what you really mean.
Nah, I don't believe that.
It's the truth coming out. And I'm like, no, I've never had a kebab sober and I won't. I have
because I'm not racist. I've made them. Nice. I put an elephant's leg on the rotisserie not that long ago. Just made a lamb kebab rotisserie. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah?
Beautiful. Yeah.
Beautiful, gorgeous.
And then shaved
all the lamb yourself?
I don't have one of those shaver things, but I just got a really sharp knife and got the stick and like balance it on a board and shave it off. Great. Very nice.
Oh, no, for me, it's not that. It's more the sloppiness of a kebab. Like, I don't know if I've had garlic sauce sober. It's more that.
Yeah, right.
The meat and everything in there I've had on a tray at a Lebanese restaurant on a plate sober. But I haven't torn foil off something, you know, with garlic sauce in it at 000 BAC.
Yeah. I've made the mistake before of ordering a halal snack pack, which is just the meat on chips.
Of course.
That's no good.
Sober or drunk?
Drunk.
Whoa.
I didn't really know what it was. I thought it would be a bit of the salad and stuff. It was just soggy chips with meat, nothing green, nothing.
No. I'll stop pretending. You maggot. It's not a time for a salad.
But that's it's a good accompaniment. Yeah, he doesn't.
Don't worry. You don't need fibre. You're going to shit. Do not worry about that.
He didn't remember a thing, which is a classic, but he also didn't deny or dispute the claims. That's, not saying it wasn't me. If you say I am, then what are you? Whatever, et cetera. He made a bait and switch. He pleaded guilty to interfering with flight crew members and flight attendants. So District Judge Susan Okimolway didn't have much to do. It's like, oh, you did it, did you? All right, let's skip the lying and get straight to sentencing. What do you reckon he got?
Well, again, we've spoken about this on many episodes. Fucking who knows when it comes to judges in these cases. But if it's a diverted flight, hit a couple of flight attendants, threaten to slice the girlfriend's neck and hit her, terrible bloke, I'll say... And he has pled guilty. He hasn't tried to fight it. I'm going to say 18. I'll say 18 months in the slammer.
No. He got 3 months probation and had to pay restitution to the airline.
Oh.
This is where it gets interesting, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the amount of restitution for costs of turning the jet around, for paying for new seats for the other passengers, didn't include the $46,900 in meal vouchers the carrier handed out to the delayed passengers. That's a lot of meal.
Wow. Airport prices, they've got him there.
Well, yeah, it's a sandwich each.
Yeah, sandwich each.
How much do you reckon he had to pay?
Well, 46 grand in fuel. I don't know, 80 grand?
No, that was meal vouchers. He had to pay $97,817.
Whoa.
US dollars, no less. And this is paid in monthly installments, 10% of his gross income.
Oh. Like an afterpay.
Yeah, it's afterpay for you'd get reminded of it the whole time though, wouldn't you? You'd be better off getting a loan. I don't know, you're gonna remember it every month anyway, aren't you?
Yeah.
What's happened there? That's a long road back.
96,000.
97,817. Bang.
Not bad.
Lucky for us though, the internet spoke up.
Oh.
Classic Melody says, finally, demons must go back to hell. 808 Unlimited said.
Same in New Jersey? Or?
Why didn't anyone bitch slap him?
Well, they may have. I assume that's when an airline says we have to restrain someone. When they say restrain, you're getting some rib punches in.
Well, that's a wide scope, restraining someone, isn't it?
Yeah. Fucking fishhook him.
Yeah.
Fishhook him with the index finger. Maybe two, hook under the nose. Pull it up like a pig's nose.
You could do, it's pretty much anything, isn't it?
Oh,
or restrain someone by kicking them in the knees and then kneeing him in the face.
I say it all the time. It is after 9/11, if someone kicks off in your flight and you've got a bit of rage, what a time to be alive. Just fucking bash him. Just bash, bash, bash.
Million Monkeys Online has had an absolute blinder before the punishment was even handed down. He said this. How about a $100,000 fine?
Oh.
Nailed it. Million Monkeys. Then he or she went on to start arguing with other commenters, which really, you don't want to, culminating in this. And this is the bad part of the internet openness is that a bunch of illiterates who once would have been invisible to the public are posting freely and spreading their ignorance. Folks, it's not difficult for an eighth grader with an average IQ to learn the difference between there, and there. If a person lacks the education and or intelligence to understand the most basic grammar rules, maybe they should find a better hobby than stinking up the net.
Is this you? Is this your...
Oh, man, I completely agree with Million Monkeys, but that horse has bolted. I wouldn't think to write it down. I appreciate someone else did and I could read it out, but they're right.
Oh, that was a real roller coaster of emotions for this person. Nailed the price. You go, great job. Started arguing with people in the comment section.
Yep.
You've lost me. And then brings it back.
With that.
The there, which is one of my favourites.
Oh.
There.
It. Yeah. You're just yelling at a bunch of vacant heads. No barriers to entry for internet users. It's like stand-up comedy.
Mate, did I tell you once I had someone go me in a comment section under a video? Use the wrong your, I believe.
Oh, yes.
So I just corrected their your and then they got on board. I'm like, very good.
Mostly that just enrages people.
It took the wind out of his sails and then he was great.
If bigots could spell, I reckon their causes would have a lot more gravitas.
No, but I think it's like Damien Power's bit about, when they say racists are never factually correct. It's like, because they haven't done the research.
Yeah.
They're not intelligent people. That's why they're yelling that online. He's looking up. It's like Korean pottery goes back to 3500 BC. You fucking early pottery cunts.
Yeah.
They're not doing the work.
Yeah.
They're just shooting from the hip.
Man, that's about it for James August here. Hopefully he's rehabilitated.
Wonder if he got back with the partner.
Oh, well, I couldn't find any of that out. He's gone. Vanished into thin air. I'm thinking of changing my name to something very simple just in case something happens because you won't get found on the internet.
James August.
Yeah, anything. So that is it, buddy, for this
week. Your name at the minute on YouTube, Luke Heggie 5602. Don't know how you got that one, but you did it. That brings us to the end of another episode of Mid-Flight Brawl. Heggie, you're touring around the country with your new tour, Grot, lukeheggie.com.
Yes, and you have a Nick Cody and Friends show starting around the time of this release, I believe.
It'll be around April 10 to 16, I believe.
Oh, okay. Another week or
it's
two.
Monday to a Sunday. Nick Cody and Friends, I'm just hosting a lineup show of some of my bestest pals.
Who are you?
And Ripper Comics from around the world.
Yeah, great. Mm. Who are you booked? You're booked. Don't give it away.
Haven't hit you up yet. So makes you think, doesn't it?
I'll see if I make the list, the invite list. I'm going to be living in that building. I'll be able to see who your friends are. Just pop downstairs.
I love that idea of you just peering through the curtains every night. Fucking, who's on here? Where is? Thanks for listening. If you want bonus episodes of our spin-off show, Land Larrikins, and early access and ad-free episodes of Mid-Flight Brawl, get around us on Patreon, patreon.com/midflightbrawl. Heggie, one more thing.
Yes. Any patrons, business class and above, who are yet to receive their Fort Jocks, please hit me back because I've been sold down the river a couple of times by Australia Post, just not delivering shit. And if you're missing your free gift upon sign up, please get back to me. It's not intentional our end at all. Sorry for any delays, but hit us up.
Fucking Oz Post. We'll see you next time.
See you, mate.
Oi. Thanks for tuning in to Mid-Air Brawl. This is our very first episode. Heggie, you're already shaking your head.
It's Mid-Flight Brawl, dickhead.
Oh, fucking hell.
Okay, ready to go. The clap. Hang on, sorry, I fucked it. Clap.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.